looking forward to this new course, Paracletus. I hope you brought your manuals with you. If you have a manual, some of you have got ones that have been enlarged, but you might need to use that. We're looking at the subject of who cares this morning under the Paracletus and the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And do also with that guide, the guide is also there to be used daily. So if you were to bring the guide here to church for this and the next five Sundays leading up to Easter Sunday, it's not on Easter Sunday, but for the next Sundays leading up there, and also each day there is a reflection and something to think about every single day, scripture and tips for journeying together each day. So I'd encourage you to do that every day. I'll certainly be doing that every day, and many of us will. There's lots of people in the whole church family who are engaging with this. And also, after, when we leave today, we haven't got notice sheets for you, but we do have these. This is a kindness card, and some of you will have experienced one of these before on the Journeying Together evening. I've just picked out two random ones here. One of them says, leave a note of thanks for anyone who provides a service to you. Refuse collectors, postmen, milkmen, window cleaner. A note of thanks to them. The next one says, tell someone you love them and value them in a way that they will appreciate. So that's two random ones. Now I'm going to, if you'd like, I've got a whole selection and I'm going to give them to you as you leave today, just for little practical pointers as to how to put into practice this theme of loving one another and paraclesis. So the point of doing this really is because I believe we're called to be, it's about the vision of church we want to have, which is a church as a mature, healthy, and holy church, where we turn, one of the signs of us turning back to God or turning to God in our lives is that we love God and that we love one another. We love our neighbors, we love ourselves. And so this lawyer in Luke chapter 10 came to Jesus, an impudent lawyer came to Jesus and said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what is written in the law? The lawyer answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, do this and you will live. And then the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? So Jesus responds with this story about a man traveling on the road to Jericho. And this really is an allegory for the journey of life that we are all on. And it's a road that we all travel. And on this road, as the traveling man experienced, people in life and circumstances can ambush us and beat us up and bruise and wound us. And I suppose the question that sometimes we wonder on the road of life is, who cares? Who cares? And you could say this was the unspoken question of this battered and bruised man on the side of the road. So Jesus said, he continued the story and said, a priest came down the road, and likewise a Levite. He arrived at that place, verses 31 and 32. These were good churchgoers. These were good religious men. And in fact, they'd been on their way to the to or from the temple when they came across this man, and perhaps they were preoccupied and busy with church, churchianity, temple worship, something like that, if we would describe, put them into our own context. But it says in verse 31 that they passed by on the other side. Then a Samaritan came, and Jesus said, as he journeyed, he saw him. So he went to him. That's verses 33 and verse 34. You see, on his journey, he was willing to engage with a stricken traveler. When Jesus introduces the Samaritan here, he throws a real grenade into the story, because after all, it says there in John 4, verse 9, it reminds us that the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And so Jesus knew that the Jews did not consider to be the Samaritans their neighbors. And in fact, Samaria in the West Bank, it was, as it is today, it was like saying a member of the PLO or Hamas or someone like that came by. It was explosive because the Samaritan man who was despised and rejected and scorned by Jews was the one who reached out, because the priest and the Levi would not. Because the priest and the Levite were indifferent, they were detached. It says, when they saw him, they passed by on the other side, and they both walked by the hurting man. And then the Samaritan comes, and his reaction was different. He not only tended to the man, but he journeyed alongside him. He showed compassion and concern. So to the answer, the question of who cares, the Samaritan's response was, I do. And when the Samaritan saw him, he had compassion. Verse 33, something inside him motivated him to stop and engage with this man who was in need. He felt something stronger than the fear of rejection and the unacceptance of being a Samaritan, and he came alongside. He journeyed together with this poor man. John MacArthur, who's from Grace Community Church, says in his commentary on Philippians, it is precisely the kind of assistance exemplified by the Good Samaritan, who after doing everything he could for the robbed, beaten stranger, journeyed with him and took care of him at the inn, promising to repay the cost, that is described in the Greek word paraklesis. So you might be thinking to yourself, what on earth is paraklesis? We've been talking about paraklesis long enough. What is it? And it's mentioned, it's a word that's found 142 times throughout the New Testament, and it appears in various forms, such as paraklesis, parakleo, parakletos, paraklete, and it comes from two Greek words, para, which means to be with or come alongside, and kaleo, which is to call or to come. And that's why parakleo means to come alongside. And that's exactly what the Samaritan did. He came alongside. And it's what the priest and the Levite failed to do. They didn't come alongside. So just listen to the words, if you would, of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read this in the Message version, because it has this word in its various forms in it quite a number of times. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. All praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercy, God of all healing, counsel, that's paraklesis. He comes alongside us, parakleo, even when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside. There's the parakleo again. Alongside someone else who is going through hard times. So that we can be there for that person, paraklesis, just as God was there for us, paracleo. Through that portion of Scripture, that word, those few verses, is found five times in its various forms. In the following three verses, it's found another five times. And this repetition is no accident. It's described here in the New Testament as one another ministry. And in the form... And this forms the foundation of this entire paraklesis initiative that we are talking about here. It's very important. So the definition here of paraklesis is coming alongside and being there for someone to give help, aid, assistance, support, and care. And often the ministry of pastoral support and care in the church has been seen historically as a role for leaders, as a role for pastors, for elders, for vicars, or whoever. But the New Testament sees that this ministry is for all. We are all part of one another. And this is what the body of Christ is about. And God calls us to this journey together in life. Ephesians 4:25 says, in Christ's body, we are all connected to each other to fulfill the design that God created for us. And so the first thing I want to share this morning is about developing this core value of care. And this is what we talk about here at St. Mary's, where we talk about loving deeply, this culture of care. It's interesting to note that Jesus does not call the Samaritan the Good Samaritan. We call him that. Jesus just calls him the Samaritan. His act of paraclesis seems so good, as it almost seems exceptional, and that's why we've given him the name the Good Samaritan, but the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, it just portrays him as an ordinary, regular Samaritan. And that's this coming alongside, this paraclesis is something ordinary. It's not something extraordinary or exceptional. It's something for every believer to engage in. For the Samaritan, this was just part of his life, what he did on a daily basis. In 1 Corinthians 12:25, it says, "There should be no division in the body. Its parts should have equal concern for the other." And that's just a daily, regular practice of Christian discipleship and our daily living. The antithesis of paraclesis is self-focused living. And perhaps we don't get involved in the lives of others because we're so focused on our own life, perhaps like the Levite or the leaders there who didn't respond. We're so focused on their own routine, their own busyness, even religious busyness. We're self-centered. We're born that way. And in fact, the root of sin is self, I. That's the letter in the middle of sin, S-I-N. It's about I, me, myself, and mine. And the selfishness of sin leads us away from God and from others. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "None of you should be looking for your own interests, but for the interests of others." And that's what paraclesis is. It's others. It's not self-focused living. It's others-focused, other-centered living. Galatians 5:14 says, "For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself." And somehow the priest and the Levite managed to miss that, even in all their religious observance. For Jesus, love is expressed through loving God and loving our neighbor. And let's just read 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. This is what it says in the Message version. It says, "This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. Let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality." So like the Samaritan, we need to develop that culture of care in our lives, to love your neighbor as yourself, in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. In 1 Corinthians 13, we had read for us this morning, it says, "Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self." So this is about developing awareness about other people's needs. It doesn't come naturally. We need to learn to read the signs and the signals that people send out often. Because you notice that the Samaritan saw the man in the road, and sometimes we don't see people in their need. When we ask someone how they are and they reply, "Okay," it can often mean, "I'm not okay." And that's our opportunity to explore that and care and think about how we can actually really care for the people that we meet. In his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey tells a story where he was traveling on a subway in New York, and there was some really kind of unruly kids, some noisy kids, and their father who got onto the subway and sat down next to him. And despite their inappropriate and rude behavior, the dad seemed to do nothing. There was a very painfully uncomfortable atmosphere, but the father seemed unresponsive with his eyes just firmly closed. And finally, Covey confronted the man, who opened his eyes and evaluated what was going on around him, and he seemed like he was unaware of it, and he responded, "You're right. I guess I should do something about it. I've just come from the hospital where their mother died an hour ago, and I don't know what to think. I guess they don't know how to handle it either. And that's just an example of how our perceptions and our assumptions about people can be completely wrong. And we need to reach out and engage with others in order to really understand their needs and to recognize that people perhaps struggle more than we realize. Today that we could be shaking hands with people who are inwardly struggling with something. Even though we may say, well, I'm not too bad. It may be that we just need someone to come alongside us and to care. So parakleo is an interesting word. It's like a diamond. It has lots of facets and dimensions to it. The primary meaning is to come alongside. But within that, there are various other meanings, and that's what we're going to be exploring over the next few weeks together. Today, I just want to, in closing, focus on one of the meanings, and over the next few weeks, we'll look at others. But one of the words that paraklesis and parakleo can mean is to encourage. Like it says in Hebrews 3, verse 13, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. And that word encourage is the word parakleo. Parakleo one another as long as it is called today. Encourage. And it starts at this point of encouragement. Encouragement is the expression of affirmation, verbally or non-verbally or practically, giving support and inspiration to someone on their journey, lifting them up, helping them to overcome a difficult time. And we want to be those who encourage one another. Have you ever watched a marathon where the people are running the marathon and the people are lining the streets? And what are the people shouting from the streets? You know, they're shouting, you can do it, go for it, you know, keep going, don't give up, you're doing really well. And in the journey of life, we need encouragement, don't we? And that we want this church to be a place of encouragement, where on the marathon that we're on of life, especially through the struggles, people are around us saying, keep going. In 1 Thessalonians 3, it says, we sent Timothy. This is another message. The writers of this course are very keen on the message translation of or the message paraphrase, I should say. It says, we sent Timothy to get you up and about, cheering you on. And that word is the word paraklesis, parakleo. So you wouldn't be discouraged by these hard times. There's a longing in all our hearts to be encouraged and affirmed, and God made us that way. And we want to give every opportunity for encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage one another and build each other up. And that's the root from the paraklesis word. And something happens when we're encouraged. It means that we actually take courage in life. So to encourage means to move out of our comfort zone. If you're filling in your guide, there's something there for you. I think it's on page 14. The priest and the Levite were comfortable with church, but were not comfortable with people on the street who were beaten up. And they would have had to move out of their comfort zone to approach that man. And the Samaritan was willing to step out of his comfort zone. See, parakleo is a verb. It's about taking action. So encouragement would lead us to go out of our comfort zones. That's a challenge to us. This isn't all just warm and fluffy love and encouragement and being nice to everybody. This is sometimes quite risky. And to encourage someone takes us out of our comfort zone. And I wonder what we could do even over these next 6 weeks to do that. Encouragement means being a giver, not a getter. We can't really love unless we're prepared to give and serve while expecting nothing in return. We start by giving an encouragement, not looking for one. It's also focusing on how much God cares for you. In 1 John 4, verse 10, it says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And encouragement starts from that place of knowing I'm loved, and so I'm secure in the love God has for me, so it enables me to reach out and extend that love to others. It's knowing how much God cares for you, so that calls us to come alongside others as well. And it's also, encouragement means being alert for opportunities to develop the sensitivity to others and looking for opportunities in their lives where we can encourage them. As it says in Philippians 2 verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you looking to the interests of others. And I wonder sometimes, are we really alert to the opportunities that we have on a daily, regular basis to come alongside others? It means learning to be a good listener. And listening is a tremendous expression of loving. It's one of the most encouraging things that you can do is to listen to someone else. It means about using positive words. Encouragement is about giving a blessing, not a blistering, to somebody. Using our words wisely, and about doing acts of kindness, not missing opportunities to show kindness, make that phone call, drop that note through, pay a visit, send a card, send flowers, give a gift, different things that we can do to practically show people concern. All this is part of developing that loving deeply, that culture of care. In John Powell's book, Why I Am Afraid to Tell You Who I Am, he wrote that at the heart of all humanness is an inherent fear of rejection and unacceptability. He came to the conclusion, I am afraid to tell you who I am, because if I tell you who I am, you might not like who I am, and that's all I have to give. And so often, this prevents us from reaching out to other people because we think of engaging other people and are afraid that for whatever reason, if we develop, if we kind of care for people, that actually we have to overcome our self-protection. We don't engage because we want to protect ourselves. And unless we can get over that hurdle, we'll never be able to move into this dimension of paraclesis that God has made us for. So there's something here, importantly, about facing our self-protection instinct, as it were. And we need to face up to that and replace that with this value of care and compassion. I wonder if that's ever stopped you from reaching out, that what it was that stopped the Levite and the priest from reaching out. They obviously felt unable to, perhaps trying to protect something of themselves. And the thing is that I want to remind us as we close of the cross in all of this, because Jesus hung there, totally exposed, rejected, humiliated, rejected by those he came to love. And he wept over them. But it wasn't a love that was repaid to him. He loved us when none of us loved him. And out there he demonstrated his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if you want to see, if you want to see this kind of coming alongside love, just come and gaze at the cross when Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the ultimate stepping out of his comfort zone, if you like, that he was willing to be humiliated. He was willing to suffer because of loving us and wanting us to know him. And from the depths of his love, that's something that we want to really consider as we think about paraclesis. And so will, in response to the Calvary love, will we be like the priest and the Levite, remaining detached and indifferent, hiding behind our agendas, our busyness, our rituals? Or will we be like the Samaritan? He could have stayed behind his barrier of being a rejected person or unacceptable person, but he didn't. He refused to hide. He stepped out of his comfort zone. He reached out. He came alongside. He journeyed together with the man in need. He took care of him and fulfilled this ministry of paraclesis to him. And God calls us to allow him to bring us to the point of becoming the love and compassion that Christ reaches into this world with. And we want to pray that in answer to this question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus recounted this paraclesis story. And then asked himself the question, which of these was a neighbor to the man? And the lawyer replied, the man who had mercy on him. And then Jesus gave him this challenge. And it's a challenge for us today too. Go and do likewise. And that's our commission upon us this coming week. Let me just pray for us as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you for the story of this Good Samaritan and the challenge that is in there for us to come alongside others in need. And Father, we pray that you would help us where that is a struggle. Help us where that is really stepping out of our comfort zones. Give us grace, Lord God, that we would be those who don't hide, but who love. And give us grace, Father God, that we may grow in coming alongside one another as you came alongside us when we were lost and alone and without God, without hope in the world. Lord God, may we be the hands and feet of Jesus this week and take us out in the love of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.